Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mouth of the Time podcast brought to you by the Shields Gazette. I'm Dominic Skerr, joined as ever by Joe Buck to discuss the latest news, transfer gossip, and everything else surrounding Newcastle United at the moment. Joe, first of all, how are you doing, and what are you making of the summer so far?
I'm doing well. It's a good summer. I think it's going well for Newcastle anyway. It's been a busy few weeks, hasn't it? Especially this last week and really the last couple of days with all the announcements that have, you know, they've gone on off the pitch. And then obviously we've got some good action on the pitch. I'm looking forward to talking all about it and looking forward to the future, because remarkably it's only what, 2 weeks till the beginning of the Premier League season, which seems a bit mad, but you know, end of July, here we are.
Yeah, it comes around quickly, and in the off season or pre-season so far, if you like, Newcastle have signed three players. Yankuba Minte, who's obviously gone on loan to Feyenoord since signing, Sandro Tonali, who we've seen in action, and Harvey Barnes as well, who we've got a brief cameo of over in the United States. What have you made of the signings so far? And so far, what we've seen, particularly Tonali and Barnes, what little we've seen of them anyway?
They're definitely exciting signings. I think all three in their own way are exciting. Obviously, Minter, obviously, for the future. You know, we're not yet see him in action, but, you know, there's a lot of hopes of his future. But Tonali and Barnes, you know, come with great reputation. Tonali will obviously have time to adapt. And I think we've seen that in a couple of his games, where I think he probably does need time to adapt, not just to the Premier League, but just to Eddie, you know, the way Eddie Howe plays. We saw that with Isak last year, where he admitted that he wasn't fit enough to play in Eddie Howe's team. So I think Tonali will go through a similar sort of transition and getting up to speed. But I've been impressed with what I've seen. I think, as mentioned last week, he seems like the player who wants to get involved with everything. And for me, that's perfect. That's exactly what you want. You don't want anyone shying away. And he certainly doesn't seem like someone who'll shy away from anything. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he develops. And Harvey Barnes, of all the 20 minutes we've seen of him in the Newcastle shirt, that seems a very exciting sign. And we spoke again last week about all of his goals that he scored for Leicester in a poor Leicester team, and the team that's, you know, not going to be as good as what we're, well, we hope it's not going to, Newcastle are going to be slightly better than Leicester managed last year. So he's going to be a really exciting player to see. And from all of pre-season, just how many options Eddie Howe now has, especially at the front part of the, you know, pitch and midfield and attack, he's got so many options to pick from, and it's going to be really exciting to watch him going forward next year, especially.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll see Harvey Barnes. Didn't see him in action against Chelsea. He'll be playing against Brighton in the final match of Newcastle's Premier League summer series in the early hours of Saturday morning here in England, at least. Played in New Jersey over in America. But just on Sandro Tonali, we've seen him in action three times now. Obviously, it's a really competitive Newcastle midfield once you have Joe Willock, Sean Longstaff back from injury, Bruno and Joe Linton obviously in there as well. Just one thing I've noticed is while he was promising against Rangers, played that good ball in the build-up to the goal, where do you see him fitting in into this Newcastle midfield? Because it's still finding his feet, it's fair to say.
Yeah, he definitely is. I think obviously he's got to find his feet. And obviously the players around him who are so used to playing, you know, there's only three or four options that Eddie Howe's had all of last season. So, they, you know, they've got to adapt to Tonali's game, you know, as well. I think that probably be best in the middle of the pitch, you know, in the middle of the three with, I'm assuming, what would be Bruno one side and then Joe Linton the other. And what I'm guessing would be Eddie Howe's first choice midfield three. But I think with Tonali in there, I think Eddie Howe's got plenty of options. I think it'll be them three midfielders will be changed game by game, depending on who they're against. I think if you're going to be against teams who might want to sit back, you might look at putting Joe Willock on there, who's a bit more attack-minded than Tonali, you know, and then you've got Sean Longstaff, who's very good at keeping control of that midfield and keep things ticking. So it's going to be interesting to see what Eddie Howe does. But for me, from what I've seen over the last two or three games he's played, definitely right in the middle of that three, and especially with Bruno alongside him, I think.
Yeah, and with the rotation, the squad pretty much will have to do with Champions League football to contend with, three games every week, for the majority of the first half of the season, at least. It's going to be interesting to see how Eddie Howe manages that and with his midfielders. But so far, last time we spoke, Newcastle had played the first two pre-season games. They've played two pre-season games since then over in America. 3-3 draw with Aston Villa and a 1-1 draw with Chelsea last night. Joe, just what did you think of those two games?
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you about this Aston Villa game because I can't get over the chaos of it. I'm sure you felt like that. It was an early start for us, or late start, whatever, you know, midnight kickoff. And the game flew by, considering it's kicked off at 12 o'clock. And I will be very stressed if that was the like that game, you know, when Villa come to St. James's on August 12th. But it was just absolute chaos. Obviously, Newcastle tried a new formation. I don't think it really worked. Aston Villa played this ridiculously high line. It felt very much like a pre-season game with, you know, Emery and Howe trying a load of different things. It was a really good game and something that, as I said, probably won't be replicated in St. James's. But what did you make of that game in particular? Did you enjoy the chaos? Could you find any sort of hope in the chaos of that game?
I think it was just pure entertainment value. It was almost as if both managers were briefed, make the Premier League look entertaining for this new set of fans, if you like, over in America. It was just a great advert for the Premier League in terms of goals and action. Quality defensively from either side wasn't really there at all. I think Newcastle, we've seen throughout pre-season actually so far and towards the back end of last season, the lack of pace at the back, that when teams run at the defence and play balls through the middle, it can expose them. And okay, Newcastle had the best defensive record or joint best defensive record in the Premier League last season. I would be surprised if that continued. As good as the likes of Fabian Schär, Sven Botman, Dan Burn and Kieran Trippier have been as a back four. But yeah, it's not the quickest. And we saw that exposed not only against Aston Villa, but last night against Chelsea as well. So, yeah, the Villa game in particular, I did very much enjoy. Didn't enjoy the first 15 minutes. With the formation was as if Eddie Howe was trying to convince a very intelligent manager in Unai Emery that they'd be playing a different sort of formation and throw him off guard for the opening day. But I'm sure Emery's far too intelligent to see, sort of be drawn into that. But yeah, it was an entertaining game, and I thought once Newcastle found the feet in the game, they were the better side and could have gone on to win it in the end. And yeah, it was just an entertaining game of football. We didn't learn an awful lot from it. We know what Newcastle are good at, we know what they're not great at, and probably the one thing we did learn is Eddie Howe shouldn't play that formation again, really. Pre-season's the time to try it, and fair enough, it didn't work. Lessons learned from it, and we'll move on. And then it was nice to see the Chelsea game last night, back to the 4-3-3, if you like. A lot of players getting 90 minutes or there or thereabouts. Shame to see Fabian Schär go off with a minor hamstring injury, but with that came an opportunity for 19-year-old Alex Murphy. So there was positives to that. It was more standard Premier League game, if you like. Not as much action. Nick Pope did come on. It was great to see him back from injury for the first time in pre-season and made a few good saves, but it wasn't as chaotic. It was a far more regimented performance for both teams compared to what we saw Newcastle v Villa over the weekend. But yeah, there was plenty of positives to take that I'm sure we'll get on to in a minute.
I was just going to say that Nick Pope, you mentioned him there, that's a major, I think Newcastle looked more solid with him in goal. And, you know, we've praised Martin Dubravka for seasons, you know, and we've praised him even last week, but it just showed how much I think the defence are more confident with Pope behind them. And I think that save right at the end of the game shows that why, you know, Pope for majority of the season was leading that Golden Glove, you know, and probably one of the best keepers in the division. I think it's great to see him back, and you know, hopefully he gets a lot of minutes under his belt for that first game, because he does make a big difference in that goal.
Yeah, he's a subtle difference maker in the side, if you like. And it was a big reason why Newcastle were the joint best defence in the Premier League last season. So, yeah, in just 45 minutes, despite his hand being still on the road to recovery pretty much back to full fitness now, but it was delayed. They were expecting him back in the early weeks of pre-season. He's obviously missed three and a half games before finally coming back. So, yeah, good to see him back, and he certainly played his part and kept a clean sheet, if you like, in 45 minutes. But just on that note, players who've impressed so far in pre-season, four pre-season games Newcastle played now, who's been standing out for you?
I think Anthony Gordon, for me, he'll be the one. I think we mentioned, you know, we mentioned his England exploits, and I think the fact that he's come, you can tell he's got so much more confidence. You can tell that he knows his role in the side now. You know, he played through the middle yesterday for a little bit. He's played out wide. And just that little run that he did for Almiron's goal yesterday, where he picks up that ball and just drives at the defence, and no one gets near him because they know how dangerous he can be. I think they were helped out a little bit by Cucurella, you know, stepping out the line and trying to intercept. But other than that, he was fantastic. You know, for England, has been really good for Newcastle, and I'm really excited to see how he gets on this year, because, as I said, there's a lot of competition for them places. You know, there's a lot of wingers, a lot of, you know, two very good strikers in Callum Wilson and Alexander Isak. So I'm glad he's had a good preseason and showed why, you know, why they spent 45 million on him, and why Eddie Howe was really, you know, happy to get him to the club in January. And I know for a fact you'll probably want to talk about Lewis Miley, Dom. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he has, for a 17-year-old lad, but I think that does him a disservice. I think for a footballer at Newcastle United, he's been a standout for me. But just with the caveat of being 17, just makes what he's done even more impressive. He's played in every game. Every game he's played, he's looked comfortable in the side. And I think last night against Chelsea, good opposition, was starting the game, played the full 90 minutes. That was certainly his highlight. He was the best player on the park for me, which is no mean feat when you've got Sandro Tonali, £52 million, Joe Linton, £40 million either side of you in the Newcastle midfield. Just no fear, no intimidation, playing in front of 70,000 fans, and just looks like he's been there all his life, really.
Absolutely. I think it was big for Eddie Howe to come out after the game and say, we're not getting rid of him. You know, he's going to be in around the first team. As I say, for a 17-year-old to have that sort of support from his manager is massive, and it shows how much the club value him going forward. And the fact that we've mentioned these, you know, they're going to have to be lots of rotation this season. And Miley is probably, you know, going to be one where everyone knows if he's put into any game, he's going to do the, you know, he's going to do the club a good service. And no one's worried about seeing Lewis Miley, you know, in a Premier League team or, you know, a Carabao Cup team or whatever. I think that's massive for him to have that support from Eddie Howe.
Yeah, I think he had to, really. I mean, 17, he's only just turned 17 as well, just signed his first pro deal. And I think having him in and around the first team last season, training, okay, he only eventually played his first competitive game, the final game of the season, but he was in and around the first team playing with these experienced professionals. And I think that's really helped him come on. And Eddie Howe coming out and saying he's not going anywhere, he's not going to loan him out, it's probably counterproductive to loan him out while he's still so young and developing. It's not like Elliot Anderson, where he was 19, he was on the cusp of pushing through in the first team. He just needed maybe half a season of men's football to really get up to speed, and that worked wonders. But Lewis Miley, I don't want to put too much pressure on him, of course, because he's so young. But Lewis Miley, Elliot Anderson, these are two players coming through the academy that look like having really bright futures ahead of them. And Elliot Anderson played regularly last season, didn't start regularly, but I think he pushed 30 appearances coming off the bench and things like that. And if Lewis Miley can get a few, whether that be, like you say, in the cup competitions and maybe a few substitute appearances in the league, if he's getting, I don't know, 5-10 competitive appearances next season for Newcastle, training in and around the first team, that will suit the player, that will suit Eddie Howe and Newcastle United right down to the ground. And then potentially in the seasons to come, if he's not quite ready to start regularly in the first team, then yeah, you do look to loan him out. But yeah, certainly what I've seen so far, you can't read too much into pre-season, of course, but you're playing Premier League opposition, Rangers, obviously decent level opposition too. He's playing against these teams, and he's holding his own alongside. He's outperforming the likes of Bruno, Sandro Tonali so far in pre-season, which, like we say, we know how good those players are. So it's just great for him to see, great experience for him at just 17 as well. So yeah, I've been impressed with him. Anthony Gordon, like you say, is another one. I think just the shackles off for him, the pressure's off. He's playing like a player, like you say, full of confidence. There's no sort of weight on his shoulders, perhaps like there was the second half of last season. He's taken risks that perhaps he wasn't when he was playing competitive football for Newcastle last season. So it's just good to see, and hopefully he can carry that on into the Premier League season and into the cup competitions next season. Because, okay, 45 million was a lot of money to pay, but if he can keep producing like what we've seen so far in pre-season over a consistent basis over the course of the next season, then it'll be 45 million well spent, because after all he is only 22 himself and is another player who has a really big future ahead of him. We've mentioned Elliot Anderson as well. It's another player. He didn't play last night, but he's been encouraging. I think he's been involved in 5 goals so far for Newcastle so far this pre-season. Really good. Miguel Almiron's obviously played a part, scored a couple goals. Another player I wanted to mention as well. Didn't play last night, but played against Aston Villa. Jamal Lascelles, I thought he came on and was the best player on the park. I don't know what you've made of Lascelles coming on here after a bit of trouble with injury as well.
Yeah, it was good to see Lascelles, not just playing but playing well against Villa, because he has obviously didn't play regularly at all last year. Still club captain, and obviously we saw after that how much Eddie Howe, respects it and how much he wanted to show the world how much Lascelles has done behind the scenes and how much he's still a part of the club. But yeah, it was brilliant to see him. It was funny because I've always been a big fan of Lascelles, and whenever he's come in under Eddie Howe, he's done a very good job. I think against Man City the end of last year against Erling Haaland, he didn't give him a sniff really. I think the season ago, but he does come in to these games, and he doesn't look like someone that Newcastle will be worried about playing. Obviously, Fabian Schärenbartman had a great relationship last year, but Lascelles, whenever he's been required, has been very good, and it was good to see him do that little well that ball over the top for Wilson's goal. That was a fantastic ball. That's something that if Fabian Schär had hit, we'd be raving about. Yeah, so you've got to give him credit for that, because that was never a side of, it was never a strength through his game. But it's clear that Eddie, the impact that he's been on the training pitch, that he's even attempting them balls and they're coming off. So yeah, it's good to see Lascelles perform well. And as much as he probably wants to play regular first team football, as he would, a player, approaching their prime age, being at Newcastle United, he's a player that you need behind the scenes. For me, you need someone like that who's behind the scenes, a club captain, a leader, and then someone who will come out into the pitch when required and put in a good performance. And as we've seen with Cher's injury yesterday, whether that's, we hope it's just a minor thing, and we do believe it's just that, but they're going to need options at the back. That's something they'll probably look at in the transfer market. But right now, with Lascelles as a, good deputy with him, with Dan Burn as well, I don't think it's too much of an area to be too concerned with just yet. One injury might sort of, make them rethink their plans. But right now, Lascelles is a very, very capable and good deputy.
Yeah, and we talk about players being Eddie Howe, if you like, players who previously at the club, before Eddie Howe came in, just improving. Fabian Schär being one of them, Sean Longstaff, Miguel Almiron to an extent. I think Jamal Lascelles is probably one of them, because he hasn't played so much, who has been sort of, without people realizing it, Eddie Howe as well, because it's hard to think of the last subpar performance he put in, which sounds ridiculous, because it Newcastle previously, every few games there'd be, or every other game would be a subpar performance, particularly from the defensive players. But like you say, Lascelles came in, thrown in the deep end, if you like, in terms of Liverpool away, Man City away. I thought he was the best player for Newcastle at Man City, and he was one of the better players against Liverpool as well. So in terms of just putting in a solid performance, he's proven a dependable asset both on and off the pitch behind the scenes. And it was good to see Eddie Howe come out and publicly say, like, he's my captain, he's my captain for a reason, he's going to stay that, and he's been absolutely exceptional behind the scenes and not caused any fuss. Because as the captain, there's big egos in football. If you're not playing every week, it's obviously gonna affect you in some way. But the fact he's just got on with things, continue to be a leader behind the scenes, speaks just exactly what he is as a person and as a player for Newcastle. Really important one. And okay, he will want to get more regular first team football, but I think he's a player who certainly hasn't let Eddie Howe down since he took charge of the club. So yeah, big praise for Lascelles. But I think you touched on it there, Joe, where we share a potential injury there. You're looking at defensively. We spoke about the left back situation previously. Just what's next for Newcastle in the transfer market, do you think, or what should be next? The defensive issues or defensive areas obviously going to be targeted, but where else are you thinking Newcastle should look to strengthen?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, as you say, in defence. We probably entered the window thinking Newcastle were going to strengthen in defence with maybe, you know, as you say, left back and maybe another centre back. That need hasn't changed over the window. Obviously, they brought in a midfielder, which they needed. Harvey Barnes is one where, you know, people didn't think they needed necessarily to strengthen on the wing, but that, you know, with obviously Saint-Maximin going, that is clearly something they've been forced into doing, and something that, as we've seen, if a player comes up like Harvey Barnes that they want, they will go out and get him. So I think that defensively, they've got, that's got to be their next priority. That it probably won't be the sexy names Newcastle fans, you know, we want to, you know, the want to see with all this money getting thrown around. Everyone loves to see, you know, a good flashy new winger, a flashy new centre mid. But I think they do need to strengthen at the back, and whether that's either a young player with a bit of potential that they can, you know, drip feed into the team every so often behind like the likes of Sharon Botman, or whether it's someone that it's going to take, you know, a starting spot off either one of them or even at left back. I don't think Dan Burn has done anything wrong at left back, but I get the need for additions and I get the need for needing to strengthen. Matt Target as well, I think he's got a big preseason ahead of him, or has a preseason to impress. I don't know whether he has managed to do that yet. Obviously, still a couple of games, so he's got plenty of time to impress and get his starting spot. But I think a left back and a centre back would be someone. Will be some place that they strengthen. You could get someone like Dan Burn to play both. You know, there's plenty of players who are able to do both. But I think certainly the back, that's got to be their next priority.
Yeah, we saw Alex Murphy come on last night and do a job at left back. Even though he's a natural centre back, he could be in that mould where he's not going to be a starter by any means, but a potential option. But in an ideal world, you don't want to be relying on your academy players too much. And I think I agree, a left-sided defender, left back, that area does need strengthening. We've seen Kieran Tierney linked, that's sort of gone a bit cold. Tino Livramento as a right back, who for all intents and purposes can play left back as well. Lewis Hall of Chelsea as well, on the bench for Chelsea last night. So few names linked, nothing close as we understand it, but plenty to keep an eye on. And Eddie Howe's already spoke about not wanting to do more. He feels Newcastle need to do more before the start of the Premier League season. So hopefully over the next couple of weeks, before the start of the new season, we will see at least one more body through the door. But within the next couple of weeks, we'll also have the Cella Cup with Fiorentina, Villarreal and Nice coming to St James's Park. Newcastle will play Fiorentina and Villarreal back-to-back days. And that's something we'll all look forward to, Joe, in front of a maybe not packed St James's Park, but certainly a busy St James's Park.
Absolutely. The friendlies last year were great against Atlanta. I can't remember the one, but they were fantastic in them two games. Wow. I think Bilbao, that was it. Thank you. That's why you're here, Dom. But they were great atmospheres, and it just shows the demand for football, that they were a sellout last year. It's going to be a lot of people this year. And you're getting, you know, Fiorentina and Villarreal, big European teams coming to St. James Park. And we might, you know, there might even be teams that we see in European competitions over the next few years. So it's going to be a fantastic occasion. Great. And a good test after playing three Premier League teams in America. Them two teams are going to be, you know, a good test for Newcastle going into that first game against Villa. And obviously with just a week beforehand as well, we saw Eddie Howe last year. And again, with this one, he will play two separate starting 11s with a lot of academy players filling in. So it's a good chance for everyone across the whole club to impress really in them two games.
Yeah, and I don't want to big pre-season up too much or read too much into it, but this feels like the, not necessarily in performance-wise, but certainly preparation-wise, the best pre-season Newcastle have put together in a while, where they're playing three Premier League teams, two European quality teams, or three if you include Rangers as well, and then obviously playing in front of a busy international stadium against Gateshead, helping them out. It just feels like a nice, tightly wound, well-organised pre-season from the club.
Yeah, it seems like one that, like, big clubs, like traditional, well-operated big clubs do, and I think it's good, and it's give us, you're right, you can't look too much in the pre-season, but these two games against Villa and Chelsea, and obviously one Brighton to come, they're probably exactly how we expect them to play out. Newcastle give both teams a really good game, and, you know, it makes us excited to go into that season thinking that they're competing with these teams in pre-season, therefore there's no reason they can't compete with them, you know, going into the Premier League.
Yeah, and just speaking of the tickets, obviously the Cella Cup, tickets getting sold for that, but moving into the competitive season, season tickets obviously in high demand, sell out pretty much. St James's Park is going to be sold out pretty much every game this next season. Memberships have gone on sale this week. Tens of thousands in the queue. So, Joe, just as a season ticket holder, what do you make of this membership situation and how the club have gone about it? Because obviously, some people not looking on it too favourably, but the club win and a no-win situation, if you like. However, you do tickets, if the demand outweighs what they can offer, there's always going to be people disappointed.
Yeah, it's a hot topic, certainly. I think the club, as you say, are in an absolute no-win situation. For me, the memberships, well, obviously they were capped last year, which obviously meant that unless you were a member or a season ticket holder, you couldn't get X, tickets for the game. So that was very much a closed shop last year. Very, the club do release some on general sale, they have to, but it's, very limited numbers. You've had to be extremely lucky to get a general sale ticket. But now that they haven't capped membership numbers, obviously, members are now entered in or ballot for home tickets. I get why people are angry, frustrated the fact that last year these members could log on at 10 a.m. on at whatever day the tickets are getting released, and you place randomly in a queue, and then you could buy your, select your seats. This year, the ballot hasn't re the communication with the club hasn't been brilliant. I think it's the one misstep the club have done so far. Their communication on all aspects has been brilliant. This has lacked a little bit. I think there was a lot of questions on Tuesday when the information was released, but yeah, the demand for it just shows that the club can't really do anything. They can't have 100,000 people logging on for a match day, for a ticket every match day. So I think a ballot's probably the right idea. Yes, some people will probably end up going to games less, but as you say, you've when demand's so high, there's got to be some solution, and this seems to be the solution that stops it being a closed shop, stops it just simply being season ticket holders and members who, a limited number of members who can get tickets. And yes, it's going to make for some interesting debate on social media when they start releasing the details for tickets and ballots and all that. But as you say, the club are in a no-win situation. It's probably the best outcome for all. And yeah, we're going to be talking about these issues, I'm sure, for the next few months, for the next few years, because until they extend the stadium, until they extend the stadium, these issues are going to keep cropping up. And even when they extend the stadium, there's still going to be issues, because we've seen demand probably getting to 70,000, and that's the sort of number of the capacity where they're probably not going to be able to get, certainly not anytime soon. So yeah, they're going to be big issues and something that the club will have to look at closely. But it's positive that they're getting all these memberships, and it's positive a lot the demand for it. And as we've seen, that fan zone details about the fan zone outside St James Park as well, that's just another thing that the club are doing to get fans in and around, spending money and their time in and around the football club. And it's all positive, despite all the worries of supporters on social media and all that. The club is moving in a positive direction. It is good steps going forward, but with the building towards where they want to be in the future, they're going to be some disappointed supporters, unfortunately. But that's just the life of, being a big club, being a top six or top eight club. We're just going to have to, I think, supporters are just going to have to get used to it, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just the new reality. Maybe sounds a bit crass, but it's like champagne problems. It's the price of success, if you like. So, yeah, if your stadium's 52,300 and you've got, like you say, 70,000 plus people just wanting to be members, to have a chance of getting a ticket, it just doesn't add up. But the one thing I will say, there's other benefits of being a member, and £37 a head, if everyone's getting a membership, no cap, that's a lot of revenue being brought into the club, and it will only help things like financial fair play and stuff like that. So it's a positive from, obviously, on an individual aspects for certain people will be a negative situation, and obviously you sympathize with people who do miss out. But I guess that's, like we say, it's just the price of success. But yeah, we'll be following Newcastle United in the coming weeks. We'll have all the latest transfer gossip, rumours, news over on the Shields Gazette website, as well as coverage from Newcastle's Premier League Summer Series final game against Brighton, as well as the Cellar Cup in a week on Saturday. You can follow all that over on the Shields Gazette website. You can also sign up for our latest newsletter to have all of that news delivered straight into your email inbox. Just visit shieldsgazette.com/newsletter for more information on that. But for now, Joe, as always, thanks for joining us on the Mouth of Tyne podcast. And thank you to everyone for listening. We'll see you next time. Cheers.